So my name is Sarah Shields, and I teach ninth grade at Manly Career Academy, which is on the west side of Chicago in the North Lawndale neighborhood. The population at my school is about 100% African American.
My name is Holly Price, and I am a Holocaust educator at Temple B'nai Israel in Aurora, Illinois.
I'm in a Chicago public school. It's about 1,600 students, 99% Hispanic, mixture of both non-documented and documented children, a lot of parents who haven't been through past like the 5th, 6th, 7th grade. They don't speak English, but their kids do. The kids don't write Spanish, but they can speak Spanish, you know, so on and so forth.
You were telling me that you've been teaching genocide for about the last year with these kids. I was wondering if you could tell us, firstly, how you begin to approach the topic in the classroom, and secondly, what are the main challenges that you're facing?
The problem that I run into with these kids is a multiple problems. One is education to them isn't always at the forefront of their minds, and so it takes a little while for them to get onto a topic. The second challenge is they need to see or hear from people other than me to explain it to them.
The challenges are actually not so much in the children, it's actually in the adults. When I started the program, I was met with resistance. And I was met with resistance because of the way Holocaust was taught in the past, which was horrific pictures of, you know, skeletons with death on their face and mass graves, and they were adamantly opposed to having their children see this.
One of the things we see is that the students come to us with very little background. They might have kind of a basic understanding of the Holocaust, having read the Diary of Anne Frank. That's pretty common. But otherwise, some of them have maybe seen Hotel Rwanda, but don't understand the larger historical context. So I think one of the things we really work to do is to look at the themes that are involved in human rights issues, and the theme particularly of choices and the choices that individuals make on how they choose to respond. Are they a perpetrator? Are they a bystander? Do they choose to be an upstander and do something when they see these human rights violations happening? So I think when you look at it through that context and you're able to relate it back to everyday situations that the students face and the choices that they make, that they're able to understand a lot more easily and kind of relate to the situation on a wider scale.
My name is Denise Hill, and I am a Gear Up student advocate for the UFC Kenwood Cluster. I work out of Dunbar Academy, and I am also a after-school teacher at Donahue, which is a charter school for elementary school. The demographic is predominantly African-American urban students, so it's going to be typically the students that are either middle class or lower middle class or lower class. So,
my name is Ashley Worthington. I'm a 7th grade teacher on the south side of Chicago, or southwest side of Chicago, and I've been a teacher for 3 years.
What I've started doing with my 5th graders is that when I started at the school, we were doing a unit called Music Appreciation. So it's an after-school program, so the kids need something to wind them down from the day, so we would listen to music. And what I started to do was actually be intentional in the songs that I would pick to have it lead to something that was going to be like a culminating project. And so I started out with a song by a spoken word artist, Saul Williams, and it was My Letter to History, and it was actually his endorsement for Barack Obama. And what I would do is that I would have the students, we would listen to the song, and I would print out the lyrics, and we would go over it and do sort of like the literary analysis sort of thing, how they felt. And then they would write about how they felt, or they would draw pictures or write poems about how they felt.
Students' reactions, I think, was one of the most interesting things. I didn't get the response that I had when I was younger reading about the Holocaust mostly was always, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening, and I wanted to help, and just the empathy that I had for those people that had to go through that. And my students, several of them had that same reaction, but then several also had the why should we help somebody else when our own people are dealing with this as well? I work in a Latino community that is being torn apart by their parents and their friends being deported because they are, not American citizens. And so they're looking at it as, you know, my family is being torn apart as well, and nobody's stepping up and helping us. So why should we help somebody else?
Our students have participated in Save Darfur projects that was put on by a originally set up by a suburban student, and they've heard speakers. Currently, we are taking that sort of idea of Save Darfur and genocide, and we've kind of went there, and now we're going to the Holocaust Museum. And then our next step is actually a peace walk through our own community. And so what we're doing is we're going to create flyers for our community who doesn't probably understand the outside world other than Pilsen and then Mexico, which is their connection. So we are going to create flyers that outline different issues throughout the world, but also within the community, both in English and Spanish. And then we're going to walk through the community and distribute those flyers to the community.
One of the students did say that his mom wanted to know the songs that we were listening to. She wanted to get copies of them, and we played the song that I played after the John Legend song was Common. It was called I Have a Dream. They used that in the Freedom Riders soundtrack. The kids got really into that, and that was actually one of the songs. He said, my mom really wants this song. Where can she find it? And they reflected on that as well. So,
I think one of the comments that stands out to me, and I usually get this every year from one or two students, is that the biggest human rights violation that they are most familiar with is the United States history with slavery. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the conflict that they see in a human rights context is race-based. And so looking at other instances of genocide that were ethnic or religious helps the students to understand that conflicts can be based on things other than race. And I think the students, entirely on their own, begin to draw parallels and comparisons between slavery in the United States and other issues that other groups of people have faced. And that, to me, and it happens every year, and that, to me, really speaks to it.